kind of inspired by what Jimmy did last week. If you were here last week and you saw the demonstration that he had, where he had a glass on the stool and he had it in a little tub and he filled it with water and he put some blue dye in it, and then he poured water in it and it kept pouring water in it until it turned clear and the water ran out of the cup into the bucket. If he had kept doing that, he would have poured water and it would have filled up the little plastic pan that it was sitting in, and it would have run out on the floor. And if he had kept pouring water, it would have filled up this room and it would run out into the hall, and it would keep running. As long as you poured the water in, it would keep running and it would keep filling. So my message to you today is about the fullness of Christ. And we're going to talk about the word fullness. And so I want you to have a deeper understanding of this word. As I told the Sunday school class this morning, we'll be reading scripture and we'll look and we just kind of glaze over these words, and you don't really pay attention to it. You just kind of read it and you go on and you don't think about this. Let me ask you this question. How many of you ate until you were completely full Thursday? How many of you said, "I'm so full I can't eat another bite"? But you did. You ate today. You ate Friday. You ate Saturday. So you weren't completely full, were you? But I want to show you in Scripture what the word fullness means. And I did. Oh, you corrected it, didn't you? That was not a mistake, but thank you. The fullness of Christ. Now I'm going to start at the end and work backwards, and then we'll come back to this in a minute when we have a little better understanding. Ephesians 4:13 says, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Now, you hang on to that scripture. We're going to come back to that in a minute when we explore this a little more. Now, I'm all about knowing what the words mean. This is what God gives me when I'm studying for something. He'll say, "Go and look this up. Let's find out what it means in the original language, in the original text," because that's where the meaning is. This is where we get our true understanding. See, we're looking at all of this from a 21st century American mindset, but the Bible was not written then. It was written centuries and millennia ago. And so we have to go and we have to look at this from the standpoint of when it was written in the original context and the original meaning of these words. And so in the Hebrew, the word for fullness is melo, M-E-L-O, and it means full or fullness. Look at this. All that is therein. Hang on to that. And handfuls. Now, I used this example the other day. If you pick up handfuls of sand, you got your hands full, as much sand as you can pick up, it's going to spill out, isn't it? Because your hands can't hold all of it. This is the definition in the Hebrew of fullness. But I want you to look at this. All that is therein. Now look at 1 Chronicles 16:32 says, "Let the sea roar and all its fullness, let the field rejoice and all that is in it." That's the same two words, fullness and all that is in it. It's full and it's full. This is the description that we have in the Old Testament. One more. Psalms 96:11-12 says, "Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and all its fullness, let the field be joyful and all that is in it." All that is in it. Are you getting the picture of this? Jimmy used this one last week, Psalm 16:11. This is the one he was doing when he was pouring the water. "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." You get the picture of this? He's pouring the water. and it's running over. It's running out of the cup. It's running over the stool. It's running into the bucket. Fullness of joy. I want you to get this picture. That was a great demonstration, because I want you to get this picture of what fullness is when we're talking about this. It's the overflowing. It's more than you can handle. It's more than you can think or imagine. It's the overfilling. That's what the fullness is. So when we're talking about the fullness of Christ, I want you to have this picture in your head. Pouring the water and letting it run over and over and over and over and over until it overflows. That's the fullness of Christ. In the Greek, the word is pleroma. It's fullness, repletion, or completion. Look at this. What fills or what is filled? You see, this was a great demonstration of both of those. What is was the cup. What is filled, the water. It's both. It's the vessel, and it's what's used to fill. That's the Holy Spirit. You got that? The vessel. We're the vessel. He pours into us until it's running out our ears and nose and mouth and every other port. That's what's supposed to happen. Now, the word repletion. Anybody know what the word repletion means? Repletion. Repletion. We know what completion is, right? It means done. Anybody know what repletion is? I didn't either. I had to look it up. Nope. Close. It's used in the term of eating, and it means to eat to excess. Did anybody do that Thursday? This is the word for fullness, repletion. It's being filled to excess. It's to the point of bursting the container. That's repletion. That's the word that we have in the Greek for fullness. When we go to the New Testament and we see the word fullness, I want you to think about that. The vessel's being filled to the point that it's about to burst. It's being filled to excess. This is the fullness of Christ. Now, I'm going to share this with you. I shared this with the Sunday school class this morning. This story in Mark. We all know about feeding the 5,000, right? You know about feeding the 4,000. In Mark, Jesus has just fed the 4,000. And he has this discussion with the Pharisees who are questioning him about some issues. And he says, Why does this generation want a sign? There will be no sign for this generation. Excuse me? He just fed 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread. That wasn't a sign. If that wasn't a sign, what is a sign? So the disciples they're kind of scratching their heads here. And he says, but Jesus, being aware of it, because they have said, what's he talking about here? See, they forgot to take bread with them. They fed 4,000 people. They get in a boat. They don't have any bread. Everybody's eating but them. So Jesus says, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up? You see that word full? Where is that up there? Oh, it's not highlighted on that one. Fourth sentence down, but if you're reading along. How many baskets full of fragments did you take up? That's the word that's used in the Greek for repletion. It's full to excess. You see, they didn't just have baskets and they picked them up, but the baskets were running over. They had passed out all this bread, fed 4,000 people, and they've got these baskets that are running over with bread fragments that are left over. It's the handfuls that you can't contain. That's the picture that I want you to see here. And then he says this. They ask him, how much did you take? 12. 12 baskets. Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? 7. They fed 4,000 people. They got 7 baskets. They fed 5,000. They got 12 baskets. Have you ever been in a crowd of 5,000 people? Let me ask you this. Anybody? You know what a crowd of 5,000 people looks like? I had a picture of one I should have put up here. Diddle Arena holds about 8,000 people when it's full. Anybody been to Diddle Arena and watched a ball game? Imagine that many people sitting out in a field and you're passing out loaves of bread that you're just breaking into pieces. And when you get through, you go through and you collect 12 baskets running over that's left. That's the picture of this. The word I want you to focus on here is full, because this story is not about bread. It is, but it isn't. Because you see, Jesus says after he reminds the disciples of this, you remember how many you got? Yeah, 12. You remember how many you picked up? Yeah, 7. Then he said, so how is it that you do not understand? See, the fullness of the baskets was in Jesus. It wasn't about the bread. He met the physical needs of the 5,000 and the 4,000. But it was the spiritual implications for the disciples that he wanted them to see. That's what he wants us to see. He doesn't want us looking at the bread. He wants us to look at the full baskets that are running over. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Why did he say that? The discussion we had today was about bread. The description in bread, we think of it as food. But to Jesus, it's not food. It's spiritual nourishment. And so when he's talking to the disciples about that, don't you understand this yet? I'm not talking about bread. I'm talking about full. The fullness that comes through Jesus. This is what he wants the disciples to see. Don't worry about what the Pharisees say. They're in a worldly mindset. They're not looking at spiritual things. They don't see this because they're looking for a sign. Feeding 4,000 people is not a sign? No, because they're spiritually blind. But the disciples have this understanding, supposedly. But Jesus has to remind them, don't you yet understand? It's the fullness of the baskets. It's the fullness that comes through your relationship with me. That's the fullness. That's where you're satisfied. That's where you're replete. Where you're filled to excess. Where I've poured into you till it's running over and it's running out on the ground. See, when it runs out on the ground, it's resorbed and renewed. And it becomes life-giving water again somewhere else. Are you getting this? The fullness that he pours into us, that runs over us and runs into us and fills us up, runs out of us to become a re-nourishment for somebody else. It runs out of us. That's why we're leaky vessels. It runs out of us so that we can be a blessing to someone else, so we can pour into somebody else the living water and the bread of life. That's what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples here in Mark. Now, let's look at this in a little more eternal context. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Let me ask you a question. I told them in Sunday school, all these things, I have a weird sense of questioning some of these things. Why did Jesus come when He did? Why did God send Jesus when He did? Anybody know? That's what this says, fullness of time. Well, what was the fullness of time? Why did He wait until that specific time? He could have done it 400 years earlier when there was no word for 400 years. He could have done it last year. Why did He do it then? Why did it have to be? What was the fullness of time that was required before He could send Jesus to this earth? What was that? Well, apparently, according to the Word, according to the definition, something had to be complete. Something had to be replete. Something had to be filled, and something had to be there to fill it. Because before the fullness can take place, these things must come. And so we have Jesus coming to the earth in the fullness of time. See, this was a pre-described time that Jesus came. We don't understand that. We don't know what all happened in heaven to say for God to say, okay, go tell Mary it's time. So He sends His angel down to tell Mary, hey, you're going to have the Son of God. And it's going to happen in 9 months from now. The fullness of time was necessary before Jesus could come to the earth. And so I want you to get this picture of God in heaven sitting on the throne, and He's looking around and He's saying, okay, now is the time. Everything is complete. Everything is ready for My Son to come. This is important because to understand why this is happening, you have to understand this fullness. You have to understand why this is an important concept that we just, oh, I'm full, I ate too much. No, that's not what we're talking about. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. Having made no, this is the middle of a sentence. I said, you know, Paul could write a sentence that was like a whole chapter long. One sentence is like, so sometimes you just have to go in the middle of the sentence. Having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. I don't know if you got that. I don't know if you understand the significance of this. In the dispensation of the fullness of times, He gathered all things together in Christ, both in heaven and on earth. So this fullness of time that He's talking about, He's gathered everything, everything in heaven and on earth. He gathered together and put it in Christ. I never saw that before. I never realized that before. All things in heaven and on earth. When He brings it to the earth, when He brings it to His, in Christ, in His Son, when He brings it to the earth, all things in heaven and on earth are in Him. Do you realize the significance of that? We don't look at it that way. We have this 21st century American mindset, and we're not looking at Jesus the way that God looks at Him. We're not looking at him the way Paul looks at him. We're not looking at it that way. But I want you to look at him that way today. I want you to see that in the fullness of time, God mustered all of heaven and all of earth, and he put it in Jesus. And he put Jesus in the belly of Mary to come to the earth. How could you contain all that in a baby? Miraculous. Repletion. Running over. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. He put all things, same chapter, a little few verses down. And he put all things under his feet, and he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You remember that definition we had back in Hebrew? All that there is therein. There it is. All that there is therein is in Christ in bodily form. All of it. And he gave it to be over the church. Now, I don't know if you understand the implication of this. If everything is invested in Christ in bodily form, if everything in heaven and earth is in Christ, and he's head of the church, what does that do to us? Tell me about it. Didn't we read here that he came so we could be adopted as sons? Didn't we just read that earlier in one of these verses? I think we did. Galatians 4, 4 and 5. He came in the fullness of time that we could be adopted as sons. And he is all of this invested in him. Everything is in his hands, under his feet. And he's head of all things in the church. And the fullness of him, in him, dwells all in all. Who are we? This is what I want you to see. This is why I want you to have this depth of understanding of fullness, because this is who we are. You see, we're not just seat sitters. We're not just singers. We're not even just Christmas players. We are the fullness of him over the church. And so if the fullness of him is invested and he's over the church and we are the church, we are fully invested in him. You have to understand this. You have to grasp this, because it's vitally important for the church to function as he desires it to be. Why did God wait to send Christ to this earth when he did? In the fullness of time. So that the church could be manifested on the earth to represent Christ, who is all in all. All that there is therein. That's us. You want me to show you that? Colossians 1, 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in him, Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. You see, he came to reconcile the earth and renew everything. Reconcile means to be brought back. That's what the word reconcile means. It means to be brought back to what it was before. And so when he sends Christ and all the fullness should dwell in him. It's to reconcile all things to himself, so that all things in heaven and on earth are reconciled to him. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, let me stop right there and then I'll finish this verse. In him all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What is the Godhead? What? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All of that dwells in him in bodily form. Look at the next part of this verse, people. Get this. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. I want you just to let that soak in for a minute. You are complete in him because Christ is the bodily form of the Godhead. Complete. Fullness. You are complete. You are full in him because Christ is the bodily form of the Godhead. If you are not complete in him, you're missing something. Do you not yet understand? That's the call of Christ to his disciples. Do you not yet understand? It's not about the bread. It's about being full. It's about being all there is therein. John 1:16. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. I think, Sherry, in yours it says grace upon grace, right? That's what you told me, I think, the other day. In him we have received fullness, and grace upon grace. Again, look at this picture of the water. Pouring out in the glass, running out of the glass, over the stool, into the bucket, out on the ground, out the door, out in the parking lot, filling it up. That's this picture. Grace upon grace. Grace for 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 grace. That's the picture. It's the fullness of him that gives us this. You have to understand this. You have to understand this. It's the completion of everything. It's the completion of everything. To fill to overflowing through us, because we're the church. We are the church. If we're not doing it, where's the water going? Down the drain? You see, if you're not letting this flow out of you, it's going down on the ground somewhere. It has to flow out of you. I use this example of the waterfall, the cascade. It flows over you, and it flows, and it cascades down, and it cascades down, and it cascades down, and it cascades down over other people. That's the picture of this. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. It cascades over and over and over. What's at the bottom of that? A still, tranquil pool of water. That's where the peace is. That's the peace that he talked about through the cross. You're filled to overflowing, and you have the peace because you're letting it flow out over others. Ephesians 3:19. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with all the fullness of God. See, that love, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about, that you're filled so much with that that you're just at peace. You can't understand this. You can't grasp this. The disciples couldn't grasp. They're watching 5,000 people get fed with 7 loaves of bread and they can't figure it out. You can't grasp this until you understand what fullness is. I want this picture of the water being poured out to be stuck in your heads. I want that picture to be a reminder that when you read this and you see that word fullness in the scripture, you're pouring that out over me. God, you're filling me up. You're filling me up till it runs out every pore of my body. You're filling me to overflowing because of you. Now, look at this. The same full that's used here is the same full as in the 12 baskets and the 7 baskets of pieces in Mark. That's the same full. It's the same full. That's the story in Mark. That's the story in Matthew when he's talking about the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000. That's the full that we're talking about. Everything flows from that. It's full to overflowing, and it's miraculous. We don't even understand it. I asked him in the Sunday school this morning, where did the baskets come from? What did they do with it after they gathered it up? Throw it away? They're in the desert. They're in the wilderness. And that's part of the story was that they're in the wilderness, and they asked Jesus, where are we going to get any bread out here in the wilderness? Then he took these loaves and he broke them up. Where'd they get the baskets? They had 12 large baskets that they filled up. Where'd the baskets come from? Just things I wonder about. What'd they do with all these 12 baskets once they gathered them up? Throw them on the ground? Feed it to the pigs? What did they do with it? It's not about the bread. It's about the fullness. It's about being full of the power of the love of Christ. It's not about the bread. This is what you have to see. It's not about the bread. It's about being full in Christ. Being filled to excess. What is filled and what's filling it? Are you full today? Have you received the fullness of Christ? Are you filled to overflowing so that you can impact others? Are you filled up enough that it's leaking out of you onto others? Cascading. If you're not that full, I want you to come up and we're going to pray over you. Because I want you to have this fulfillment of Christ that you have not known before. It's a special place. It's something special because you will never have this feeling like you have when this hits you. We talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and that experience, if you've had that experience, you know what it feels like. I want to tell you something. This is more than that. Now, so I said we're going to come back to Ephesians. We started at Ephesians. We're going to come back to Ephesians 4. Now, I want to show you this. I want to put all this together for you so that you understand this. So when you come to Ephesians 4, and Paul is talking about equipping the saints and coming to the unity of the faith. If you want to read along with this, this is in Ephesians 4. And he's talking about the knowledge of the Son of God and the perfect man, and the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You understand all that we have been given and the power we have, so that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height of the love of Christ, and do exceedingly above all we ask or think. That's the fullness of Christ. It's for the equipping the saints. It's for the unity of the faith, for the knowledge of the Son of God. What's perfect man? Perfect man? Wait a minute, there's only one perfect man. There's only one perfect man. Well, if you come to the stature, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, you will become the perfect man. Not my words. The fullness of Christ develops that because Christ is perfect, is He not? If we come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ, Paul says we're a perfect man. Are you perfect? No. I got a long way to go. I need to be filled up. I need to be full. I need to be overflowing. I need more. I need more of Him. I need more of His knowledge and understanding. I need more of the unity of the faith. I need to be equipping the saints. I need to be the full measure and the stature of Christ. Because that's the directive. That's why we have the fullness of time. It's now. Now is the fullness of time. Now is the time. Now is the time. The Bible says to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Are we in evil times? Absolutely. We have to redeem it because now is the fullness of time. And we have been empowered by the fullness of Christ to do that. If we will. If we will. So I'm going to close. You get anything out of this? Do we have any music to play, Matt? Yes, we do. If you would like prayer, I'm going to have Dave and some other people come up. Sue, you want to come up? And come on up. Gerald, come on up. Bruce, come on. Ann, come up. I'm just going to open it up here. If you want some prayer to receive the fullness of Christ, come up and pray. We'll pray over you. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray that Christ Himself will fill you to overfilling. In Jesus' name.